Welcome to Talks Titles Down Under Dynasty Edition. I'm your host at Life of the Bren, and with me, as usual, my co-host at FF Doormat. How are you today, Matt?
Mate, I'm doing wonderfully well. Counting down to October 11th, we're sort of out of a semi-lockdown here. Not fully free, but things will start opening up. So there's a bit of a light at the end of the tunnel. So just counting down the days. Got the Goat Bowl to look forward to. The NRL Grand Final as well, South vs Penrith, looking forward to that. So, happy days.
Cheers. And at new regular, Bully, at Mark Bully's here. How are you today, Bull?
Yeah, nah. Same as Matt, pretty keen for Freedom Day or whatever our former Premier Gladys had called it. It's keen. We're getting into crunch time. We're learning more about what the season's shaping up as. There's a few surprises, but no, it's been good.
Glad to hear it. So, look, let's get straight in. Just work, mate. In the salt mines, just chipping away.
Slaving away.
But it's been good. Getting through the days and enjoying the fact that the NFL's back and managing my fantasy teams. And still, man, I hate Thursday night football. I hate having to set my lineups and think about my lineups on Fast Australians here. It's a Friday, and I absolutely loathe it. Just loathe it. Like, I've got like 17 leagues, so I'm checking all 17 leagues, and to make sure that there's not people in that game who I don't want in, or there are people who are playing that I want in, and it does my head in. I hate having to think about fantasy football lineups on that Friday. Does that bother you guys at all? Do you don't care? You like having to do that?
I settle into a pretty good rhythm. Like, usually I'll go through Tuesday and I'll have a look at where all my leagues are. Wednesday morning for me, I'll go through, set my lights, do my waiver runs, make any changes to IR and taxi squads that I want to do. And then Thursday, I'll set some lineups. Thursday, I'm more set the lineups for leagues I'm competing in. Most of the leagues that I'm in are potential points for the 101. So, if I end up starting someone that I didn't mean to start in one of those leagues, it's not the end of the world. Thursday, I'll go through and set lineups. And then Friday morning, if I get time, the matches that I think are going to be close, I'll go through and really do a fine-tooth comb of see if I can get another couple of points out of anyone.
It's that, for me, it's just that last minute Friday morning, 9:30 period where you're trying to cram those starters, you don't know who's in, who's out. That can be hard. But it's why just Friday night? Why isn't there Saturday night football? That's what we want, right? Selfishly from Australia, Saturday night game would be great for us because we have Sunday football. So it is what it is, I guess. Still mute, Benny.
Sorry, guys. I like to sit down Sunday afternoon and set my lineup after reading the Fantasy Pros primer, and just set my lineup, and that's what I like to do. And I don't want to think about lineups until the weekend.
Well, I guess the way around that, you're very selfish. I guess the way around that is playing in more best ball leagues, but like we're both in a league in Fog of War, which is a great league. But my side is pretty much neglected, really. I don't look at it that often. It's a multi-copy league. There's hundreds of people in it, industry people and whatnot, and noobs like me. It just doesn't feel as much fun
thinking about the matchups. I'm the same. I thought I'd be all in on the best ball, but from a dynasty point of view, it's kind of, I don't know if it's my cup of tea. I think it's probably better for redraft, right? If you wanted to do redraft, best ball, it's probably a bit more relevant and more fun. Like dynasty, I'm just used to there micromanaging my teams, But it's a good league. It's got a lot of great players in it, and long term, I want to see how I go there, challenge myself. Against some pretty high level people.
Yeah, I suppose for me, like, I dabbled in best ball a couple of years ago and I found my teams were struggling just because I didn't have to go in each week and actually look at them. I wasn't paying attention and making the moves that I needed to be making. And either going all in on tank or all in to win. And I was just finding that my teams would get, were finishing fifth and sixth, seventh and eighth a lot, which is, you know, not where you want to be. Being in my first C2C league this year, it's also expanded my week a bit. So I've actually had to be, you know, Saturday night before I go to bed, I've got to check, you know, college and stuff like that. So I suppose it's just a habit for me now because I've got that C2C league, I'm on it every week, but or every day. But for me, that's just a matter of breaking it down and into smaller chunks.
Yeah, I'd only be doing a C2C league if I could do the college football part as best for. That's probably the only way I'd do one, to be honest.
Mate, it's wild. Like, you know, there's 25, 30 quarterbacks scoring 40 points a game, and you're like, all right, well, none of you matter, so I'm just going to draft the guys that might go into the NFL. Like, you know, you're starting tight ends, and you thought tight ends score nothing in the NFL by the time you get to the 24th tight end. Mate, I feel comfortable if I'm starting tight ends averaging 8.
Wild. So, guys, it's been a few days, and let's have a quick look back on week 3. We'll start with you, Bully. Yep. What was your week 3 takeaway?
I actually had a couple. I think week 3 for me, I learned a lot. I think Sam Darnold's shown up that he's the real deal. And we're starting to get what we expected from him when he was drafted in the NFL, which kind of rolls into Zach Wilson in New York. He's scaring me. I think I said in one of our leagues this week that this draft class is almost starting to give me Christian Ponder's draft class vibes. And, you know, Trevor Lawrence looked better yesterday, but, you know, it's also he's even starting to worry me about whether Urban Meyer, you know, if he's there long-term, what that looks like, because I'm losing a little bit of faith in him. I suppose Derek Carr, he's leading the league in passing yards, I think, at the moment, which is wild. But just a question of whether or not he can keep going with that. And I think the Chiefs are last in division. So they're looking to be the next team that fulfills that Super Bowl runner-up curse and, you know, potentially missing the playoffs that year after losing in the Super Bowl.
Well, it's a very strong division with the play that the Raiders and the Broncos are now getting a quarterback, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a tough division, full stop. But I mean, I think when you look at the numbers going back through, you know, through those Super Bowl runner-ups, I think only 6 of the last 27 have made the conference playoffs the following year. And, you know, 12 out of the last 27 have missed the playoffs completely. So when you look at that, you know, to think you were one of the top 2 teams in the league 1 year, to miss the playoffs the next year, that's a big drop-off given how many teams make the playoffs. So, yeah, it's a tough division. It's gotten tougher. Teddy looks like he's a solid enough game manager. He's not thrilling me for fantasy football given my Judy and Sutton shares, but, you know, he looks like he's a good enough game manager to get him by, which makes that division tougher. And I don't know, the Chiefs just look like they're missing that aura that they had for the last couple of years where teams were genuinely scared to go in and play them.
Well, I reckon they'll be all right long term over the course of the season. How about you, Matt? You concerned about the Chiefs?
Well, I'm not concerned about them. They could easily be 0-3, right? Like 0-3. I think it was early. It was red zone. It was like 3:30 in the morning over here. So I don't know if I dreamt it or what, but I'm pretty sure the Browns attempted a fake punt, right? And it was a terrible fake punt. And that, for me, that sort of turned the game. But they could easily be 0-3. I think they'll be fine. But for me, I just think there's some bad habits that Mahomes has got into in the past where he's relied on some of these, you know, special plays and these they look great on film, but he's just been caught out of them this year that they're not quite coming off. So I think sometimes where he probably the wiser, smarter choice is to take a sack, and more conservative QBs will do that. He's trying to dance around, you know, sling it out sidearm, and those have turned into interceptions. I'm sure they'll be fine. I'm sure he can, you know, overcome it. He's got a great system, great coach there, but, you know, it's not looking good. They've got to turn it around. I'm sure they can, you know. Still probably got to be one of the favourites, but, yeah, those sort of bad habits, you can see that creeping into his game a little bit.
I mean, for me, the big takeaway from week three is like Billy, is just how good Sam Darnold's looked the last 3 weeks of the season in that infrastructure. And DJ Moore, man, just I've got a fair bit of DJ Moore. I really thought that he could break into that real wide receiver one conversation, and looks like he's going to do that this season. Yeah. I mean, he's on track for over 100 catches. 117 receptions he's on track for at the moment. I know, you know, it's a small sample size. He's probably not going to end up catching 117 balls, but I think he's firmly in the wide receiver one conversation. And another takeaway is that Josh Allen is back. And back big way after struggling, fantasy-wise anyway, for the start of the season, not putting up what we really expected from him. But he had a monster week three.
Yeah, that was my takeaway too, one of my takeaways. He just looked so comfortable. A couple of times he was hanging, like, I didn't watch the whole game, but I caught the second half. I got up about 4 o'clock and watched it. And he was just sitting in the pocket, you know, lots of time, you know, playing really well. And then, yeah, back to his old running around slinging it. So I think it was a bounce back week for a number of players. I think Zeke looked pretty good. Najee was the overall RB1. So yeah, a lot of players. James Robinson as well. I think he bounced back in a big way. So
yeah, I think for Josh Allen, the interesting thing, and I think it's similar for Zeke and stuff like that, like those players were used scarcely in the preseason. And this is Josh Allen's first season coming into it where he hasn't had to play through the preseason to make sure it's his job and show what he can do. So for him, it's a big difference when you come into the, you know, when you come into the season, having not played a lot of snaps, you know, you weren't sure whether Cole Beasley was going to be there or, you know, whether you were going to have to rely on Gabe Davis. So I think for him, it was going to take him a couple of weeks to wind up. But, you know, now that he's back, I think he's going to be that same Josh Allen we saw. The Zeke one, you know, I think Zeke is what we expected now. You know, I think Pollard is going to keep some of the work, but I think that's more the organization realizing that they've signed Zeke for another, I think he's got this year and two more left. They don't want to run him into the ground. So, you know, there's that. Najee off that game in that offense, he'd almost be moving after this week into the sell category for me. Juju's banged up. Deontay's banged up. If he sees another week of double-digit targets, I would be looking for the Jonathan Taylor owner and stuff like that and be looking to make that move just because that O-line is not going to get better in one off-season. And yes, he's getting 28 to 30 touches a game, but they're unconvincing at the moment behind that line.
He's the RB6 on the season, which nice start, nice tidy, sneaky start.
Yeah, but 14, what's 14 carries yards, for 50 yards. Yeah,
right. Yeah. Look, a lot of that is, you know, junk points. I think Dynasty Trey Calculator did a little breakdown of his last quarter in his game, and he got something like, I think, 11 targets and 9 receptions in the last quarter from Roethlisberger because there's no one else in the field. So, yeah, probably a nice time to sell if he has a big game and sneaks up into that. He might be, you know, top 3 or 4 RB overall for the season. You might be able to cash out at the right time.
I just think there was a lot of hype about Najee, and it just looks like he's going to be running into a crap line for probably the next couple of years. You know, 3 yards, a cloud of dust, be a low-end RB1, high-end RB2 on volume, right? And then just be gone. Like, if they don't do something about that offensive line.
I don't know if he's going to be a low-end RB1. I think if he's seeing that sort of volume, given there's no real clear wide receiver one in that offense,
that's garbage, mate. Deontay Johnson's the wide receiver one there. And when he's on the field, he gets the targets to be to be a wide receiver one. Like, there's plenty.
Yeah, they're all banged up. Like, yeah, you're gonna see Najee get this. My concern with Najee isn't so much that, you know, he's going to be a low end RB one. I do think he has two or three seasons in that RB 5 to 8 range, but for me, I would be trying to rely on that to move into a safer running back like a Jonathan Taylor, who I think has the ability to get that second contract and be useful. It's not unusual. We see these Alabama running backs, they come into the NFL, they're not used to, you know, they're used to being behind that Bama line, which bullies people. And it does take them a little bit to get used to it. Derrick Henry sat behind, you know, Derrick Henry split carries with Deion Lewis.
Najee's getting hit behind the line of scrimmage
yeah.
at an alarming rate. I don't think Najee's the problem. I don't think that he's not good. I think he's really good. I just think that the offensive line is crap.
Yeah, I agree. Like, and that's part of the reason that if he gets these carries this week with Deontay banged up and Juju banged up and everything else, I would be looking to move him. But I do think we kind of need to accept that these Bama running backs, they don't come into the league and, you know, set the world on fire. Ingram was the same. Like, every single Bama running back that's come out while Saban's been there has taken a couple of years to actually do anything.
Yeah, but I'd say, like, I get that. I just don't think that it's related at all. Do you know what I mean? Like, one situation is related to the other situation. My thoughts are that it just played out like that. Like, Derrick Henry should have been getting the ball like he is now the moment he entered the NFL, and he would have done what he's doing right now.
What's his upside if the Steelers do fix their A line, right? They've got a ton of cash tied up in Roethlisberger. You know, if they draft well, get a couple of free agents, they're smart. Look, they're a brilliant organization. They're one of the best ones, right? They know they've got to fix that A line. You got a young running back.
See, the hard part for them as an organization is, like, realistically, okay, so they're going to be a good enough team this year that they're not going to get one of those top QBs in this class, or they're going to have to make a trade which sacrifices long-term. They're going to have to move multiple first-round picks to get up into this QB range.
I think you're forgetting that Dwayne Haskins is the future, okay?
Mate, we've seen Dwayne Haskins. I got burnt by Dwayne Haskins. They don't have the capital to replace Ben immediately, which probably means that even if he retires this year, next season, that team is going to get worse before it gets better. So then you're 2 years into his 4 years before you actually get to see anything. Year three, he gets a rookie quarterback. Maybe they've strengthened the line by then. Like, and I own a good amount of Najee. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I thought he had the ability in that team maybe to do something. And we're seeing him score points, but they're unconvincing points, and they're based on 14 carries for 40 yards, which is not where I want to invest in my
money. It's based off getting a crap load of receptions, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't even scored a rushing touchdown yet.
Yeah.
Look, that, I guess that's my concern as well. We just don't know big picture quarterback what's happening with the Steelers. No idea. So Bully touched on it briefly. Are we worried about any of the rookie quarterbacks yet? Like there was a lot. These guys were getting so much praise in the preseason, right? All of them, and now it feels like there's cause for concern.
I think if you're panicking, I think, you know, just harden up a bit. It's early days. 3 games, guys. Come on.
I'm not seeing the flashes that I expect to see. I'm expecting a QB. You know what? They're going to struggle when they're a rookie QB, but you usually see flashes of brilliance to make you go, there it is. Trey Lance has looked the most convincing QB
Trey
out
Lance
there.
Trey Lance has looked the best. He's flashed almost every time he's gone on the field.
Like, Trey Lance is getting to sit behind Jimmy Garoppolo, learn. It's this whole thing of we sit there and go, oh, like, the narrative of starting rookie quarterbacks is rubbish. You know, we can get them out there. Like, there's a reason that, you know, there's plenty of number one picks that have struggled. And those guys that are picked middle of the first round that have that fringe quarterback to sit behind for half a season to a season, they have the long-term careers. I'm just, there's a lot of them that are worrying me. I'm not seeing the flashes of brilliance that I thought you'd expect to see by from a Justin Fields, or, you know, Trevor Lawrence looked better this week, but he's also playing the Bengals. Yeah, so, man.
Laura averages, not all these guys are going to work out, right? So,
no.
There might be a couple that you got to, like, it doesn't get better. But we don't know yet.
Yeah.
Are we talking fantasy? We're talking like QBs. I think
I'm talking real life.
Call me Homer, but I think the QBs look the best to me is probably Mac Jones. You look what Brady did in that system. He struggled big time. Not struggled, but he wasn't himself. You know, like he was pretty average. And now he's overall QB1 for the season. Obviously, you know, it's a completely different setup, different system. But I think he's looked okay, Mac. I think he's been okay. I think they've held him back a bit. He's had a lot of drops. A couple of interceptions aren't on him. And I guess the expectations were low too, right? No one was expecting him to be a superstar from a fantasy perspective. He's been solid. But yeah, for me, I'm not really worried yet. I want to give the guys a full season. If you're selling cheap, I'm buying and cracking. Pool, I'm here for your Lance shares. For your Lawrence shares, sorry. But it's still early days. For me, for Trevor Lawrence, just to see how he overcomes it. It's something he hasn't dealt with before. I think the stats are he's had like two losses, you know, three losses in his career, college and high school. So that aspect for me is sort of what I want to see, how he reacts to, you know.
Interestingly, there was an interesting thing with that losses yesterday. Trevor Lawrence has only ever lost two games when leading by more than 10 points, both to Joe Burrow.
Right.
my only worry about Trevor Lawrence is Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I trust him
I think he's looking at that he's looking at that USC job going like, he thought he was going to run out and play Purdue each week. You're not. Like the worst teams in there was an argument a couple of years ago with that Bama team. Like, oh, would they beat an NFL team? No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't.
Of course they wouldn't.
You know, Urban Meyer, I think, has actually gone in here and realized it's a different game. And
that might be better for all concerned if they just part ways, hopefully soon. Because I'd feel a lot better if Trevor Lawrence's development was in the hands of an experienced NFL coach.
But I think that's what you're seeing with, you know, Lance sitting behind Jimmy G. Like, I don't think Gardner Minshew is that much worse of a quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo from a game management standpoint. They probably had the ability to keep Minshew for that half a season. Lawrence sit and learn.
Yeah, but Lawrence is a generational quarterback prospect. Lawrence was never going to sit behind Minshew. That's ridiculous. I think the mistake they made was keeping Minshew that long, right, and splitting reps with Lawrence throughout the preseason and throughout all the practices. Yeah. I think that was the mistake that Urban made in regards to Minshew and Lawrence. I still think Lawrence is going to be fine. You know, I'm not worried about him at all. Fields worries me probably the most because he's with Nagy. And I think Nagy's just crap. I think he's not a good coach. He's just not a good coach.
He's a terrible coach.
He doesn't adjust to his players.
They've gone straight under the bus with him. Like, so you put your rookie court QB out there who was probably not expecting to start until later in the season because you named Dalton the starter. Dalton gets injured, so you put him in. And then the next week you come out and say, oh, we're not sure who our QB is. Is it Nick Foles? Is it Andy Dalton? Is it Justin Fields? No, like once you've put him out there, you have to back him, warts and all. Like,
I don't think you have to if he's going to get killed behind that offensive line. And I don't know if I would necessarily make
that. Do you really want to bench him for the third string? So all of a sudden, Justin Fields is now back to being the third string quarterback and carrying the clipboard. Like, that's not going to fill your rookie confidence, you know, your rookie QB with confidence. Like, and we've seen with Josh Rosen, once that confidence is gone, it's gone. Like, he has not looked the same player he was once after he got done over by Arizona. Like, he was put in a bad situation with a bad team. They mismanaged him. And, yeah.
I think there's a bit of a buy-in.
Rosen. Huh?
No, I think there's a bit of a buy window now for both of them, in my opinion. I think with Fields, obviously, Nagy, hopefully his this is his final season if he sees it out. So you can see there's upside there, right? If another coach comes in, their O-line gets a bit better. I think there's a bit of a, you know, obviously there's an issue there that can be solved pretty easily, even with Trevor Lawrence. I think part of it is he's walked into an organization that, you know, they won one game last year. There's something to be said for that. And I think that's why I like what John Gruden's done, even though his draft picks have not been conventional. He's brought in that winning culture, a team of winners. So, yeah, I think that's something to be said for that.
I'm not panicking on any of them, but I just thought it was an interesting thing to bring up. I was taking Lawrence really high in startups. I was taking him over Herbert, and that looks like it, you know, probably a mistake. But, hey, live and learn. I still think he'll be fine. Yeah. So, looking ahead to week four, what matchup are you most looking forward to from a fantasy football perspective?
You go, Matt.
It's the Goat Bowl for me. I'm not sure if it's fantasy football or if it's just real football. Probably more the real football. But yeah, really, really looking forward to Tom Brady versus Bill Belichick. I think you know, my head says it's the Bucks by a lot, but the heart, I still hold out hope for the Patriots. I think they can take advantage of that secondary. So, yeah, pretty much ever since Brady signed, I've been counting down to this game where he played the Patriots. It's also my anniversary too, public holiday in Australia. So it's worked out pretty well. But, yeah, just want to see how that goes. Interesting to see how he performs coming back to the Patriots. You see some of these players when they come back, that, you know, they shed a tear and whatnot. And sometimes the performance can really be shaken because they left, but he didn't really leave. He was pushed out, you know. So I think he'll probably destroy us, really. But I hope he doesn't. It'd be nice to see four or five picks and a famous Patriots victory. But it's probably not going to happen. I think you know, we know anything from Brady. He'd probably want to win this game more than yeah, you know, some games, some big games he's played in the past. So he'll probably come out and destroy us.
I agree with Matt here in that, like, I think this game goes one of the ways. The thing that Bill has done for forever and a day is take away the team's best, and the best asset on that Bucks team is Brady.
You're cutting out, Paul.
Right. I think the scary part is both these teams are now in a window to do what they wanted. Brady forever and a day wanted Bill to give him weapons so he could light him up. And he's now got that. Bill for forever and a day has taken away team's best weapon, which for the Bucks is Brady. I think this game is going to go one of two ways. I think Brady's either going to light it up for 450 and five touchdowns, or way, and the Patriots are going to have five picks. I can't see it being a 13-12 drawn out game.
I think the Bucks are going to absolutely flog the Patriots, and I don't know. Like, I think you guys are all delusional.
my head's
going to throw five picks.
I don't think he will. My head says the Bucks will win, but you know, like Bully said, Bill does take your safety blanket away, or the thing you like to do the most. Who knows? You know, Brady better than Bill. He's probably going to try and take away all that short stuff, but saying it and doing it's a different thing, right? Like, we don't have Gilmore, so we're missing a couple of players as well, and we need to score. So it's been tough for us to score all season. James White is out. So yeah,
With Gronk being out, I'm actually really excited to see OJ Howard get some real playing time and see how he looks with some real playing time coming off that injury that he had last year. I still have quite a few shares of OJ Howard and holding out some hope that in free agency he gets maybe to a team where he gets a little bit more opportunity. So that's something I'll be watching out for from a fantasy perspective. I'm really excited for the Arizona-Los Angeles game, Rams. I think that's going to be points galore. Just get those players in your lineups. I think it's going to be a fun game. Matt Stafford looking like MVP, which I hope he is, because I took a little flyer on him at the start of the season to win the MVP. So hopefully that comes good. Still lots and lots of weeks to go, but man, that whole offense looks just completely different with him in there as opposed to Jared Goff. And Cooper Kupp is a grown man. I don't think he's going to keep this 36% target share. He's not going to... He's still on track to have the best season of his career. He looks like a real bona fide wide receiver one. I think Robert Woods will have his weeks as well as the season goes on. But I didn't expect this out of Cooper Kupp at all.
Certainly got a connection there, right? They're having breakfast together, I think. So I'm not sure if that comes into it or not, but he's looked good so far. But yeah, surely Woods has a couple of breakout weeks coming up.
What are you, given that there's a couple of wide receivers that are having outlier seasons, like Kupp, Williams, what are you guys doing with them? Like, Kupp has struggled to stay on the field for a full season. And I think Mike Williams is also, they're both getting older as well. Are you guys moving off them or?
I think Kupp is safer than Williams from a fantasy perspective. Just because he's going to get those catches and be safe in PPR leagues anyway. I think if you're competing, you definitely have to keep Kupp. I just don't think that you're going to get near what you could. What am I trying to say here? Just value wise, I don't think you're going to get near what he's given you points wise, fantasy wise.
How do you replace it? How do you replace that production? Is what you're saying, right?
You're not going to get that in a trade. You're not going to get it.
I'm just looking at it from a point of view of he's already had, an insane amount of yards. And one of two things is either going to happen here. He's either going to have a nearly 2,000 yard season, or he's going to drop back and have that 1,500 yard season, which means he's only got another 1,000 yards to put on. Whereas if you pivot to someone who, say, a DK, so say you can somehow pivot and get Kupp, get DK plus.
I don't think you can trade Kupp for DK plus. I think you're on drugs, mate.
Have you seen the hate that's happened for DK this year so far?
I don't know, man. I don't play with dirty casuals like you do.
You play with me, so that's a lie.
Do you think there's one league that we're in together, Matt, where we could make that trade, where we could get DK Metcalf for Cooper Kupp?
I'd do it in an instant if you could. I doubt you can get it.
I don't think any of the leagues that you guys play with the people that we play with, that's not a trade that we can make. I don't know what other leagues you're in.
Like, even if you had to say Kupp and a third for DK?
I don't think Kupp and a... Please. The third's nothing. You're still taking the player you think is best long term.
Yeah, you'd have to give Kupp and a first to get DK.
It'd be Kupp and a first for DK.
But what about something like a Woods and a Cooper? Amari Cooper and a Woods for Robert Woods and Amari Cooper for Kupp. Is that something you'd be looking to do?
If I could get both those guys, it's probably something I'd look at. I don't think he's going to stay this hot.
Yeah. I think the deal I'd be looking for is something like a Cooks and a Judy or something in like that ballpark. I'd be looking for that team that's sitting fifth or sixth at the moment that wants to make a run. They've lost a player like a Judy to IR and they've got that aging guy like Cooks. Like, Cooks is still the same age as Mike Evans and all that. Like, people think that he's a lot older than he is just because he's been banged up with a couple of major concussions. But he hasn't missed a lot of time with them just because they were end of season. Like, one was in the Super Bowl where, we can talk later about the fact that that was a helmet-to-helmet and wasn't right. But I think if you can make the move to a player that's on IR like a Judy or something like that and still get the production this season from, say, a Brandon Cooks, who's, Cooks is third in the league on yards at the moment, but, is significantly cheaper than Kupp.
I don't think Kupp's... I mean, he's definitely more expensive, but I don't think he's that much more expensive yet. I mean, he's already 28 years old, right? Mm-hmm. He's already at the age where even guys who've been stars for years and years and years have a precipitous value drop, even when they're putting up out monster seasons.
Yeah.
All right. As Matt knows with DeAndre Hopkins, right? So, and Kupp hasn't got that history of being that high end wide receiver one, and he's already 28 years old. I just don't think that the value is what it's pertaining to be. I think he's going to have a really good rest of season. I don't think he's going to be like this, but yeah, I mean, if you can pivot to something like a Jerry Jeudy, I'd definitely do that.
I just think there's enough players this year.
But not if you're a title contender, though. You can't. If you're a title contender, you can't trade Kupp for Jeudy right now.
I'd almost be willing to back that, you know, I can find production to get, like, if you are a genuine title contender and you're sitting in, you're probably 3-0 if you've got Kupp. You know, worst case, you're 2-1. I would back myself to go and make a trade for, say, Tyler Boyd for a late second, given
Tyler Boyd's going to be nothing. He's going to be back on the, like once Higgins and Chase are both healthy.
Yeah, but if you could get Jeudy, who's going to be back in 3 or 4 weeks, and then go and buy a Tyler Boyd to give you that cheap production for 2 or 3 weeks, all of a sudden you've gotten six years younger on receiver, and you're still
You got to look better. You're going to feel better about your side, but you're not going to win that league, in my opinion.
That's pretty roster syndrome. That's looking at your side and oh, look at my roster. It's so beautiful. But you're not like.
But I like the move. I just wouldn't use those guys. Like, I see what you're saying, Bull. It's a good time to sell, right? Like Lamar Jackson, if we had a sold after his breakout season, that was his highest price. Yeah. So what you're saying is sell him, cash out. But it's a fine line. You got to thread that needle, right? Like, it's really hard to get that production. Maybe a T. Higgins, but you're going to have to pay more probably to get Higgins for Kupp, right? No one's going to swap Kupp for Higgins.
Even someone like a Debo. Like, Debo is second on receiving yards so far this season, and like his value still hasn't got to a first plus yet. You know, if you can make the move,
I think he's worth a first.
Yeah, surely. That's what I'm saying, a first. But I think if you've got the 112 and you sent that to the Debo owner, maybe he counts as asking for a third. But I can't see it being that much more. Yeah, and all of us, he's only got 40-odd, 50-odd yards less than Kupp this.
No, you just, you can't keep just, you know, at some point you got to win the league, right? if you keep going and get this production, let's pivot and try to get somebody who's giving me 75% of this guy and then get another piece. I mean,
but what I'm saying is I don't think you're going to get 75% of Kupp's production. I don't think Kupp is going to have a 2,000-yard season. He's got 450 yards, which means in the next 13 games, he's going to have 1,000, maybe 1,200 yards. So he's only going to average 70, 80 yards a game.
Look, I don't know, mate. I could see him having a 1,700 yard season, 1,800 yard season. I could see that. This guy's getting 11 targets a game.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't see him as a 2,000 yard. You know, 2,000 yard receiver.
Oh, I don't see him as a 2,000 yard receiver, but I could see him get 1,700, 1,800 yards.
He's got a soft fantasy schedule too. I think he's got Seahawks and the Vikings. Plays the Ravens week 17, so it depends on what league you're in. But he's got that upside, that 30-point upside. You can easily see him doing that. Not every week, obviously, like he's doing, but you know, come that final, you know, that week 14, 15, 16 playoff period. He's got that 30-point upside, which is going to be hard to say you get that from Jeudy.
One wide receiver who he may not be in that high-end wide receiver one conversation, but I've been very impressed with Marquise Brown's start to the season, and I actually think that can continue. Don't laugh at me, Vaughn. Why laugh? What do I do that for? I think Hollywood is back, baby. Hollywood is back. And I just think having Bateman come back and is just going to make things even easier for him. And I'm loving seeing Hollywood produce. Right? It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And
yeah,
I think he's going to reward his owners.
I got very little interest in owning Hollywood. It's a low volume passing offense with Lamar. I thought maybe when they lost Dobbins and then Gus Edwards and everything else, you know, that they lost, I thought maybe they would increase the passing offense. It hasn't. Lamar's arm doesn't look like it's gotten any better. Like, I think he's 50-something percent completion on the season. And Hollywood's been banged up for his college career and into the NFL career. And the worst part is it's not even that he's completely banged up that you don't start him because he's out. He's banged up that he'll start the game, play a few snaps, and then he'll have to go and sit on the bench for a bit. Then he might come back and play another couple of snaps. I just don't want those wide receivers in my life.
Lamar's at 60% to start the season, man. He's at 60%. It hasn't been the prettiest start for Lamar, but the fantasy production's still been there.
So, I'm not criticizing Lamar's fantasy production. Like, I think that, you know, he's going to keep producing points. Like, he's good enough that he'll run around and produce points. But it's like he had that 60% completion percentage. I think that was boosted by he had a 70-odd percent game against Kansas. And then he came back to earth last week against, let's put it this way, a very, very bad Detroit side where he barely had 50%.
But his first two games were at 63 and 69. I think that's more indicative of what he'll do over the course of the year than the one game against the Detroit Lions. But
I think it's the volume that you... No, go, Benny.
I was going to say, what are you looking forward to in week three? But if you've got a comment on Lamar, just give us that Lamar take.
No, just going to say it's just the volume, I think, that Billy's alluding to. That I think if you look at volume, Jacoby Brissett's completed more passes than Lamar. John Harbaugh, I think he's a great coach and he's going to stick to their strength, which is probably running. I wish they'd unleash the shackles. I thought they would. If they do, then the wheel's up for Hollywood, I think.
I think Lamar's got less completions for the season than Brady had in week one. So for me, I'm not investing in any receiver.
Well, he's on track he's prorated out for 464 attempts, which would be a career high.
What was the line that I gave you on that Lamar passing, by the way?
500 attempts. I think he can get there. I think it's going to happen.
I forgot
there's an extra game. Damn it. So 464 when you factor in the extra game, it's probably right where he has been almost, really.
Yeah, I'm feeling safe on the unders there.
We'll see. Matt, what's your taste for week three? Sorry, week four.
Week four, I'm just waiting for DeAndre Hopkins to score 6 touchdowns and go for 700 yards because I just sold him. But yeah, look, just as mentioned, really, really focused on Brady. I think that's going to be massive. I'm also looking forward to Ravens versus Broncos. That's going to be a good matchup, a good game as well. I'm talking about Lamar, so I want to see if they're legit. If what Teddy Bridgewater and the Broncos are doing is legit. I think they're 3-0, right? So that's going to be.
It'll be a good test for them. Absolutely,
it's going to be a great game. Yeah.
Anyway. Well, I think we've all given our week four takes, and Matt's given his twice because I asked twice. Sorry, Matt.
nice, I've got to say it twice.
So nice, you want to say it twice. Is there anything else you guys want to touch on before we call it a day?
Yeah, I just actually go through and have a look. I mean, there's some surprising receivers that are having really good years that are still quite depressed in value. I touched on Debo before. I think he's second or third on receiving yards. And, even a guy that I've been pretty high on for the last couple of years, Bryan Edwards, is on pace to have a sneaky little 1,200-yard season. I don't feel comfortable starting him yet, but he's in an offense that doesn't use a lot of receivers. He's starting to be the guy that Carr goes to when Waller is covered. So I just think there's a few little sneaky opportunities there when you look at that list, especially given the aging nature of this wide receiver rankings. There's a lot of those receivers, Hopkins, Kupp, Odell that are going to drop off that list in the next 12 months. And I think
Odell's dropped off, right? He's not really thought of as a high-end dynasty asset anymore.
Yeah, I think I'm still comfortable starting him when he plays.
Yeah, definitely.
I think he'll still be fringe wide receiver one, high-end wide receiver two this season, even after missing a couple of games. But I think the name recognition means you could still probably go out and get, Debo and a pick or something like that, Cooks and a pick.
I wouldn't trade Cooks for Odell Beckham right now. Not Brandon Cooks, no way.
What's his value? A second reckon OBJ? You're not going to get a first for him anyway.
I don't think anybody's paying more than like probably he's probably worth a high second, but no one's paying a first for Odell Beckham. And look, we should just touch on it because Bully did bring him up and I glossed over it. But do we think Mike Williams is for real? I got offered Mike Williams for a first and a second. I declined it. I just think that, wide receiver's too deep and I'm not going to pay a first and a second for Mike Williams based off 3 or 4 weeks.
No.
I think that deal's got to be there in six games, right? Another, give him half a season at least and see. And if he produces, maybe then you'll pay a first and a second. I probably wouldn't, but his price is not going to go up much higher, I don't think.
I think he's a declining asset already. Like, he's... he wasn't young when he came into the league, I don't think.
Yeah, he's turning 27 tomorrow. No, sorry, on the 4th of October.
Yeah, so he's already 27. Like, so he's already in that Brandon Cooks, Mike Evans age bracket, and he's only put up this season as relevant, so...
Just feels like a bit of a trap, right? I wouldn't be surprised if he had a great season, had the best year of his career... Has 1,400 yards. Like, right now he's on track for, again, 117 receptions, 1,500 yards. Look, I wouldn't be surprised if this season was his best year, catches like 100 balls for, almost maybe 1,400 yards, something along those lines, and then signs a nice big contract and then turns into a pumpkin.
Yeah.
I
think you'll see him play more games this year than you're used to just because... he's about to go off that, this is his contract year. So in some of those previous years, maybe he sat out when he'll play this year, but he hasn't, given me anything to make me think that he's a long-term asset. Like, his game started by year is game started, not played, is 1, 5, 15, 11, and, he started the 3 so far this year. So, I'm not comfortable spending a first on that. If you've got him and you're a contender, ride him, maybe move him if you can, but I'm not investing in
him. Well, before we go, just got to let everybody know that today's show was brought to you by Primetime Sports Talk, your top source for all major sports content, including DFS, fantasy advice, great gambling tips. Be sure to head to primetimesportstalk.com to check out their in-depth analysis, exclusive articles, fascinating interviews, and explore the rest of their amazing podcast family. Again, primetimesportstalk.com, your go-to spot for the sports content. And of course, Toilet Stylers have a Patreon. First tier is $3 per month, and that gets you in the T2T group chat. Second tier is $5 per month. That gets you early access to the waiver wire episodes, entry into the Frankenstein Listener League next season, and in the TDT group chat. And then you got the $10 per month tier. That gets you one-on-one roster analysis with anybody in the Toilets Titles team, free entry into our Frankenstein Listener League, TDT team group chat, and early access to the Waiver Wire episodes. All right. Now, you'll find us on Twitter. I'm at Life from the Ben, L-I-V-E, from the Ben. You got at FF Doormat, at FF Doormat, and at Mark Bull is here. So you can find us all on Twitter. Reach out to us if you want to ask us any questions about fantasy football or just talk fantasy football. And we're always about. Anything else you want to say, gents, before we knock off?
I don't know if you want to talk about that trade we did, Benny. It's a decent-sized trade, I think. Do you want to save that for next episode? Do you want to go over it now, or what do you...
Well, we've gone 55 minutes. Why don't we save it for the next episode?
Save it for next. Keep some suspense for the listeners.
Keep some suspense. Yeah. All right, boys. Gonna hit the outro.